And by the way, Bart Bornhorst was supposed to be here. And this is a little humor. I bumped him. That's really a lot of humor, because I don't bump anybody. But anyway, he had other, and so he wanted to know who would give it. Now, do you really believe those six seals that the guy was talking about, the seven seals? Can you believe that? Do you believe this Bible is actually correct? And you, it's inspired? Turn to 2 Timothy 3:16. And then the seven-day Adventist, the lighting was never good, and they had to have a lamp up here, but it looks like this is going to be good. But I might also go get new glasses. I can't get a new Bible because I got too many notes in it, and I'd lose all my everything if you took this one away from me. But 2 Timothy 2:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So, do you believe that all Scripture is right? Well, if you do, turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Let me find it here, 5:21. Prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Have you proven that the Bible is inspired? Or do you just believe it is inspired? Now, I know when I started, I said one day, a woman lived next door to me and told me that how she knew God was real is that the earth is mathematically perfect, and therefore she knew that God was real. Then I come to the conclusion, well, if it's mathematically perfect, this Bible ought to be right. So I assumed and I had the faith that this Bible was right. But God tells us to prove all things. Have you ever proved that this Bible is right? I'm going to show you how to do it. How can we prove it? Well, how does God tell us to prove it? Turn to Isaiah 41. In verse 21, God says, produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Now, I'm going to see what a translation. Set forth your case, says the Lord. Bring your proof, says the King of Jacob. So what's he want to know? In verse 22, he says, let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show us the former things, what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things to come. So what he's saying is here, show us what's going to happen. And let me look in history and see if it did happen. God said, now this is how we prove the real God. So when you hear of other churches and other religions, ask them to tell you what's going to happen. You had a man up here just a little bit ago telling you about seven seals, you know, all the different seals and so forth. But can you prove it? Well, God says the way you prove it, show me what's going to happen, and I'll look up and see if it did happen. Then he also goes on and says, and show this in verse 23, show the things that are to come hereafter, that you may know that you are God. Yeah, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed. In other words, God said, I'm going to tell you, the real God can tell you all the things that's going to happen. I can see if they did. And then he's going to tell you future things that we can stand here and watch to see if they happen. This is what the real God is going to do. Oh boy, I love this desk. I can put some of this over here. Don't you ever take this away. Now, in verse 24, it says, behold, you are nothing, and your work is of naught. You're an abomination for he that chooses you. So if somebody can't tell the truth, and you're following them, you're an abomination, because they ought to be able to tell you the truth. They ought to be able to prove the Bible to you. Now, God is telling them that their gods can't do this. They can't foretell the future. God is telling them and us that he has written down in this Bible what is going to happen, and you can look at history and prove it comes to pass. So let's see if the real God can do that. So let's look and see what is foretold in this Bible is going to happen. Then let's look back and see if it came to pass. And then let's ask God what's in the future and see if we can watch and see it come to pass. Now, you don't need to turn here, but Luke 21:36 says, watch and pray. And there's many, many verses that you can look up that we're supposed to be watching. Well, Jody Koch come along, said we're not to watch and don't do away with the Old Testament. It's only the New Testament. We are supposed to watch. You are supposed to understand prophecy. What is the Holy Days? Prophecy. You understand it? You know, you gave some explanation there during the sermonette. Turn to Daniel 2. And we'll start with verse 28. Now Daniel 2:28 says, there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and he makes known to the king of Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. So he's going to tell clear down to the latter days when Christ comes. Then in verse 31, he's going to tell him, thou, O king, thou sawest, and behold, a great image. In verse 32, this is the image that Nebuchadnezzar seen. But he also told, when it comes to revealing it, he didn't want to tell the story. He said, you tell me what the dream is, and then tell me what it's going to be. So Daniel comes along, and he says in verse 32, this image that's seen was a head of gold. Let's see. Verse 31, thou sawest a holy great image, and here's what the image is. 32, this image's head was of fine gold, its breast and its arms were of silver, its belly was of brass, and of course the two, and his legs of iron, and his feet part of iron and clay. Thou sawest a stone come that was cut out of the mountain without hands, which smote the image and his feet, and they were broken in clay, and they broke up. Now, in verse 36, he said, this is the dream that we will tell you the interpretation of. Thou, O king, you, O king of kings, thou art the God of heaven has given you a kingdom. And in verse 38, the last part here, and he's made thee a ruler over the head of, you are the head of gold. So we have a statue. I'm going to show you what that statue looks like, and I'll explain it a little bit more. This is a different picture than what some of you are used to seeing, but this is from the Jehovah Witnesses. But they still understand that the head of gold was Babylon. The silver was Medo-Persian Empire. The brass was Alexander the Great. And the two legs of iron was Rome. So all prophecy can, if you're a historian, you can look up and prove this. But I'll show you what they can't prove. So it says in verse 39, and after you shall rise another kingdom. So we have the Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. Then we have the Persian Empire. And another third kingdom will come up, the Grecian Empire. And then number 49, then the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron. Well, what is that fourth kingdom? In verse 41, where thou shalt see the feet and toes, part of potter's clay, and part of this kingdom shall be divided. So here is kingdoms, four kingdoms. In verse 42, and as the toes of the feet were part of the iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And in the days of these kings, these ten toes, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Now, it's very interesting here. In Daniel 2, it tells you the time of Nebuchadnezzar, what's going to happen. There's going to be four kingdoms. But during the fourth kingdom is the legs of iron. Them legs of iron last clear down till Christ comes. And then God will come and smash those ten toes. Now, here's what Jehovah Witnesses believe. The legs of iron are Rome. That's from 30 B.C. Then it gets on down below the knee, and it says, this part of it is the Anglo-American world. This power is from 1763. Then at the ten toes, it says it's politically divided world in the end time. Now, when I look at that, it says Rome is the fourth one. And if the Bible is literal, it doesn't change it. So the Rome, an empire, is going to last down clear to the ten toes. It's going to be in existence from the time of the fourth beast, the time of Rome, until now. Now, I had some people today, we had a little Bible study, and I said, when's the last time you heard of Rome? And of you, when would you hear of Rome? Back in time of Christ. Rome hasn't existed since then, has it? Well, yes, it has. Because my Bible says these two legs represent Rome, and they're going to last all the way down until the ten toes, and Christ is going to come and smash the ten toes. Well, but see, this is not revelation. This isn't revealed by God. This is history. Any historian knows about these four. But they don't agree that the fourth one is going to last all the way down. Now, how do we know this? Well, they don't know what Daniel 7 is. So let's turn over to Daniel 7. Verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream. Verse 2. And he spoke in the vision by night. And here's what his dream is. And in verse 3. And the fourth beast came upon them. The fourth beast came up from the sea, diverse one from another. He said the first one was like a lion. Verse 5. Another beast, the second one was like a bear. Number 6. The third one was like a leopard. And then, very important here, and that beast had four heads. Well, the reason it had four heads because Alexander the Great, when he passed away, the four generals took over. But anyway, there's four heads. And verse 7, after this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, four beasts, dreadful and terrible and strong, and it had great iron teeth. Now, who are these four beasts? Well, let's let God interpret it. Now, remember in Daniel 2, he had a statue telling you four beasts. There was a Nebuchadnezzar's empire, there was a Persian empire, there's a Medo-Persian, there was Greece and Rome. So let's see who these are. Look at verse 17. And these great beasts, which are four kings which shall rise out of the earth. So the Bible tells you these four beasts are four kings that rise out of the earth. Well, are they the same as in Daniel 2? Well, what about the last one in Daniel 2, Christ come, didn't he, and smashed his ten toes? Well, let's see what this one is. In verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. So when the saints possess the kingdom, it's brought out in the sermonette that Christ will come and will be resurrected, and with the saints are going to possess that kingdom, not just Jesus Christ. So here we have these four kingdoms. They're the same four in Daniel 2, because during the fourth kingdom, Christ came at the ten toes. Here we have four kingdoms. Christ comes. When's he going to come? During the fourth one, which is the Roman Empire. And then it says the saints are going to possess the kingdom. Now, if we go back to verse 8, or the last part of verse 7, I was diverse from the first, and the beast that was before, and it had ten horns. So in Daniel 2, the beast had two legs. One of them is to Constantinople, which the king of the Rome was divided into two cities of Constantinople and Rome. So they were the two legs. Then it comes with the ten toes of Rome. Now, as we come here, it explains how this iron legs are going to last down until Christ comes. So the Roman Empire has existed, but not continually. But look at it. And I considered the horns, and they were, well, let's go back. The beast before it had ten horns. Well, what are these ten horns? We found out what these four was. What's the ten horns? Well, let's let the Bible tell us. Verse 24, and the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise. So if you just continue to read, you'll know, and if you know the other scriptures, if you know Daniel 2, and you know what was brought out in the sermonette, when Christ comes on trumpets, they'll be resurrected, the saints will be resurrected, we'll all be spirit beings. So it says, during this fourth kingdom, we know it's when Christ comes, in verse 18, the saints are going to possess the kingdom. And then we know, out of this fourth kingdom, out of this Roman Empire, there's going to be two legs, but also there's going to be ten horns. And if you look at verse 24, the ten horns are ten kings. So now we have, out of the fourth kingdom, we're going to have ten kings. Then let's look at verse 8. And I consider the horns and them I came up another little horn. Now, remember, a horn represents a king or a position in a political position or with power. Came up a little horn, and before whom, this little horn, there were three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots, completely gone. So that was a barbarian. From 446 to 554. But anyway, three of them were plucked up by their roots. And then so now we see there is 10 resurrections and three of them are gone. So now we have seven left. Then look at verse 24. And the 10 horns out of the kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise, this little horn, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. So we have seven left. Now here's what this little horn is going to do. He shall speak great words against the Most High, and he's going to wear out the saints. Whoever this little horn is must be a religious individual, because he's going to wear out the saints. That's talking about you and I, but it's talking about back in history. And then it goes on to say, and this is interesting, well, he's going to wear out the saints of the Most High, and he's going to think to change times. Now, if you look at the Moffat translation, it says sacred season. So this little horn is think he's going to change the sacred season. Now, I got a Catholic school at home, and I think when my wife had it, but she was never Catholic. And I looked it up, and it says festival days. This little horn thinks it's going to change the sacred season and festival days. Who changed the festival days to Christmas and Easter? Who changed Saturday to Sunday? Some of this, God wants you to do a little work. He wants you to study and not just have somebody teach you. Because you got to prove now, we're going to prove that this Bible is inspired. And then it says they should be given into his hand until a time and times again. Now the Moffat translation says 3.5 years. But the judgment shall set, and they shall take away the dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints. Which was brought out in the sermonette. We are to be given this kingdom. Now, Christ is the first of many brethren. Christ is going to be the number one guy in charge. But the church as a whole is going to be married to Christ. But individually, we're going to be brothers to Christ. But look, right here, we are going to possess the kingdom and help Christ and bring this world to peace. Now, this world is going nuts. I mean, it's when you have people being beheaded, and I heard in Australia they was going to grab people on the street and behead them, but then they found out ahead of time and they stopped it from happening. Also, we had our people in the United States from Minnesota went over and fought with ISIS. I believe that's the way it's pronounced. 40 of them are back in the States. They went over there. They've been trained here how to fight with ISIS. They went over there, did it. Some of them got killed. 40 of them are back in the States. So they can, at any time, decide to go grab somebody and cut their heads off. Now, I don't think, a guy told me yesterday that he heard it on the news. I didn't hear it. That in California, they were trying to grab people and cut their heads off. Now, that might have been Australia, you know, because that's what a group was going to do in Australia. They caught him ahead of time and stopped it. Now, the Bible talks about terror. You know, we have to have God's protection. We have to come closer and closer to God. So, God, we will be protected during these times. Because this world is nuts. And there's no other word for it. Now, we see here that we have in Daniel 2, I'm going to review, you got four kingdoms. The fourth one's Rome. It lasts down to the end, and there's 10 toes. In Daniel 7, we have four beasts. But the fourth beast, the saints come and possess it. So it has to be the same four kingdoms. Because you can't if the Daniel 2 is Rome, this is Rome. So you have four beasts, and they're taking over there. Now, three of them are subdued, but the last seven will last until Christ comes. And the last one has to be 10 toes. I'm keeping this simple, because I was taught a long time ago to do the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid. And it's not talking about you being stupid. It's talking about me being stupid if I don't keep it simple. Well, this isn't exactly the easiest sermon to keep simple. But how many of you are lost? You don't have to raise your hand. The person on the back hand, because nobody can see him, say, or the two or three back there. Can anybody that reads the Bible understand these prophecies? If not, how does God reveal them to us? Let's turn to Amos. Chapter 3 and verse 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing but he reveal his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. Now I looked up in my computer that prophets could also mean spokesman, but he's going to reveal it to the prophets. But then the next, don't turn here, but at Jeremiah 29, it says, the prophet which prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord has truly sent him. But turn to Daniel 12. The knowledge was revealed to the prophets and it's all put down. Now God says you can prove him because what he says will come to pass. And we look and say, well, Daniel 2. But it's clear down to the coming of Christ. And it's amazing how much has come to pass and it's all been accurate. But Daniel 2 and verse 4. O thou, O Daniel, shut up the word, seal the book, even to the times of the end, and many shall run to and fro, and the knowledge shall be increased. Now, verse 9. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the end. Now, this knowledge is revealed to the prophets, but it's sealed up, and they've got to reveal it to somebody. God's, through his Holy Spirit, has got to reveal it to somebody. Well, let's see who that is. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2:9. What I'm going to do sometime is get you a note of all the scriptures I'm going to so you can mark your book so when I turn there right away, you can turn there with me. But I do it because I'm always afraid I'm going to say turn to 1 Corinthians and I can't find it. I will find it, but I don't want to hesitate up here looking for it. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Chapter 2, verse 9. It is written, this is in the Old Testament, I have not seen nor heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Man does not see what God has prepared for those that love God. That we will actually be born into the family of God. That this vile body will be changed like unto his glorious body. That's 1 John 2. I don't know what I'm going to be like. But I know I'm going to be like him because I'm going to see him as he is. This is something that the world does not know. Now, in verse 10, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. We can't understand it any other way. That's Jehovah's Witnesses. They can understand history. They can look in history and other people can too. But they can't explain the iron legs lasting all the way down. Where's that Roman Empire been? It's been there. And I'll tell you, this isn't part of the sermon, but if you want to do a little research, it was in 476, the emperor was, the young Roman Empire died. In 554, he was resurrected by Justinian. And then came along Charlemagne. Then come along Otto the Great. Then come along the Habsburgs. And by the way, all but the first one was crowned by the Pope. And then come along Napoleon. Then come, and then five. Are now gone, but then there was Mussolini. Do you know Mussolini was part of the Roman Empire? Yeah. I didn't know it when it was coming on. What's so sad about this, I've lived through a lot of this, but I have to fill some of it in. In 1933, Hitler made a concordat, which is a deal, something between the Pope, a religious organization, and man. In 1936, Mussolini declared the resurrection of the Roman Empire, claiming succession to Imperial Rome. In 1936. The reason I didn't know it then, I was only 6 years old. But you have to learn history and see what is going on. So you have the seven resurrections. Remember in Daniel 7? They was 10, 3 was subdued, the little horn was left with 7. And then 5 of them have already fallen. And it says in Revelation 17, I don't know if I get to that one, 5 are fallen and 1 is. And that was, when that 1 is when somebody had to be revealed, which happened to be revealed to Mr. Armstrong. Now, the Holy Spirit has to reveal the prophecy to somebody. God says it in verse Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God will do nothing but reveal the secret unto his servants the prophet. Then it has to be revealed to us. But God expects you to do something. I can stand here and give you an overview, but if you don't want to research this out, you can't prove it. But you can prove it if you go ahead and research it out. Now, I'm going to turn to John 14:7, and I'm only doing this for people that are not baptized. John 14:17. When I was in the church, I was coming into the church, they kept saying, you can't understand this unless you have the Holy Spirit. And you don't have the Holy Spirit until you're baptized. And I wasn't baptized, but I was understanding it. So what was the answer? Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world can't understand this. The world's not received, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you. And shall be in you. So the Holy Spirit does dwell with. Before you're baptized, God had to start opening my eyes, and it was a year before I started the church. God wanted me to close on Saturday. Everybody said it was business suicide, but I finally, I didn't talk myself into it. I just finally had to do it. Now turn to Luke 24:45. Luke 24:44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms. Now, by the way, if there's a Bible out from the Old Testament, it's written in all three of them. It's written in the prophets, and the Psalms, and the law of Moses. So, in other words, everything in the Old Testament, it has to be written in the law of Moses and the prophets concerning Jesus Christ. You can preach Jesus Christ out of the Old Testament. God said so. But look at verse 45. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. They were not baptized, but God was with them. So you young people that don't have the Holy Spirit, God can reveal it to you if you want to listen to it and have your eyes opened. And he'll do it through the Spirit. And then when you're baptized, he gives you that Spirit. And Christ lives in you. And then you begin to develop the mind of Christ and have the faith of Christ and the love of Christ. And I hope all of you are not judging me to see if I have all those. But I hope I am doing it, some of them. So, for young people, you don't have to have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be there and open you. It'll be with you and then can be in you. Now, let's prove that our God exists and this Bible is inspired and he foretold what was going to come to pass and he revealed it to our church through Herbert W. Armstrong. Now, I know some people have a problem with thinking that it was revealed through Mr. Armstrong, but you wouldn't know it. Fleury wouldn't know it. Meredith wouldn't know it if the Holy Days wasn't revealed to them by Mr. Armstrong. They always go back. Of course, some of them change it. Now, something that back when I was young, back when my son was young, he was in the Little League. And my wife took him to a Little League game. And she ended up sitting by a woman. It was a black lady that was sitting beside her, and they began to talk. Jackie found out that she went to the Worldwide Church of God. Now, how they ever got on that subject, I don't know. Jackie knew I was reading this literature, so she got her name and address, and I think her name was Mathis. Freeman might remember, but I don't know where she stayed. And I went to her house, and I went through all of her literature, and here's what I found. So I looked through her literature, and I found this article, and I made a copy of it, and it's all wore out. So this is a new copy. I decided I was going to prove this was God church through prophecy. At that time, I didn't know that God says that's how to do it. In Isaiah 41, he said, you want to prove it? Look and see what I told you was going to happen. Look and see if it did. Then I'm going to tell you the future things are going to happen that you can watch for. And the church that can do that is God's church. And this Bible is inspired. So I copied this, and I was going to prove, and if you look at my Bible, well, I've had people, I think I had some young lady once not too long ago, said when Gordon talks, he always talks on prophecy. I believe that was her, and I said, is that really true? So I asked Angie, because I see her every Thursday, and she works me over, and she enjoys that. And I asked Angie, do I always talk in prophecy? And the answer was yes. I said, well, I didn't know that. She said, well, you always end up on prophecy. So she asked me this week what my sermon was on, which I didn't have it till Bart couldn't make it. It's on prophecy. And it's the one I know the best. And I look in my Bible, and the reason I understand it more is how I prove God's church. I looked at Jehovah's Witnesses. They think they're right. I looked at Seventh-day Adventists. They think they're right. And I was looking at Mr. Armstrong. How do I know that I'm not being deceived? Well, so I took out on prophecy. Now, let me show you here. I'm going to show you one thing that Mr. Armstrong said in June or July of 1934 in the issue of The Plain Truth. The article was entitled, What is Going to Happen? And here's the quote. Scripture prophesizes two great military powers to rise in the last day. One, the revival of the Roman Empire by a federation of 10 nations in the territory of ancient Rome. And also Russia and China and might meet together. But he knew in 1934 there'd be a resurrection of 10 nations in Europe. Now, in your own mind, where did he know that from? Daniel 2. He looked at it and he sent it down here. God said, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen from the time of Nebuchadnezzar. 4 empires, and after the 4th empire, that's going to last down until Christ comes, and there's going to be 10 nations. Now, here's another interesting thing. Every empire before that was national. You had Charlemagne, one government. You had Justinian, one government. You had Otto the Great and all the rest of it. But the last one, God said, wouldn't be one government. It would be 10. Joined together. So we are to look for 10 nations to join together. And he told that in 1934. Then, in August of 34, he repeated it again. The United States of Europe, a federation of 10 European nations within the bounds of the Holy Roman Empire. Now, I'm going to quote to you here. Back in Daniel 2, 42, it said to be 10 toes and 10 kings. In verse 44, God's going to set up a kingdom. He's going to come at that time. Mr. Armstrong knew in 1934 that there was going to be 10 nations come together. And then in 1939, an issue of The Plain Truth, he wrote that a military accord officially lining up Spain with Italy and Germany will add one more of the 10 prophesied kingdoms which are to give their power. Now, he was looking for 10. Now, when they got 10 together, I expect he was real excited. But then there was 11 and 12 and 27 today. But he still stuck with 10. There's going to be 10 of them go together. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of a history. Let me get where I'm at here. You have to understand, and when you get to 1950. But before Russia is ready, the world will be stunned to see Germany emerge suddenly in a power never equaled by Hitler, by a union of 10 nations in Europe, probably including some present puppets of Russia. Now, I'm going to So what did I do with those notes? I can rattle it off to you if I don't have it. I get ahead of my notes. Here they are, two pages later. I should follow them instead of just ad-libbing. Two pages later. Now, I want to give you a history of what happened at the end of World War II. Eastern Europe was given to Russia so Germany could not rise as a national power and start World War III. A wall went up between Germany, East Germany and Western Germany. So Churchill and them tried to make it that Germany would never rise again. They had World War I, they had World War II. So we did all these things to stop Germany from coming that important. Then the wall went up. But the nice thing is, and I'm going to read you something else. When I came to church in 1970, I heard a tape being played by Mr. Armstrong, and he said, Germany is laying in ashes, and it will rise to lead a 10-nation European empire. Now, I would have gave up at that time. If I was predicting there's going to be a 10-nation and Germany was going to be the ruler and it was laying in ashes, I'd say I'm wrong. Then when it did rise up and got prosperous, they put a wall down the middle of it. So East Germany and West Germany would be separate. East Europe and West Europe, it can't happen. I'd quit again. It cannot happen. But it did happen, and Mr. Armstrong, it happened in 1989 when the wall came down. Now here he told here, in 1950, see the war ended in 46, 4 years later Russia owned all of East Europe, he said, Germany will suddenly emerge by a union of 10 nations in Europe, probably including some present puppets of Russia. Some of them that are controlled by Russia, he knew they would come out. Then, in 1952, the plain truth said Russia may give East Germany back to the Germans, and will be forced to relinquish her control over Hungary and Czechoslovakia. Now, this is 50s and 52s. Again, I would have given up, but he's seen Daniel 2, and he knew there would be 10 nations, and he knew we were in the last days. But the wall didn't come down to 1989, and Reagan said, let that wall come down. Now, the Democrats don't like that statement, see, because he was a Republican. But Reagan didn't take the wall down. Actually, the Pope did. The Pope went into Eastern Europe and was dealing with Poland, and they was rebelling, but God is the one that took the wall down. Now, Mr. Armstrong knew them nations would come out of Eastern Europe, but he didn't know how. He just said, Russia may give East Germany back to the Germans, and it will be forced to relinquish control. Now, what do we have? We've got Eastern walls now. Now, Russia's like to get them back now. In the Ukraine, they want them nations back. So we have here, let me catch up with my notes again. Let me tell you some things that happened. Eastern Europe was given to Russia so Germany couldn't rise to a national power and start World War III. The wall went up for the same reason. We took Germany's gold, and I didn't realize this until recently, the last few years, so it couldn't become a strong, wealthy nation. Now, we're doing everything to stop Germany from rising up and to be a leader. See, but they was looking for a national one. God said it was going to be 10 nations, and Germany was going to be one of them. So it's how accurate he ends up being. Churchill wanted to tie Germany and France and other nations together, and he called it the United States of Europe. So he got Germany and France to make a coal deal of some sort and started to tie them together. He wanted Europe tied together so Germany could not rise. Can't do it, right? Well, wrong. Now I'll get ahead of my notes again, and I'll have to try and find them. What's going on today? Germany's dramatic, alarming foreign policy. See, now Germany has played a low cause because we don't want them to rise. We did everything to stop it to rise, but now what are we doing? America and other world powers have been begging to get more involved in world affairs, for Germany to get more involved in world affairs and to exert more global leadership. We did all this to stop it. Now the United States and other nations say, come on, Germany, get involved. You're wealthy. You got all the money. You got the military. We need your help. And we did all the trouble to turn it around. Now, the new German government inaugurated a month ago a chart, a new course for Germany. And the defense minister said, I believe that an economic powerhouse like Germany can't continue to stand on the sidelines. Now, this is a German defense minister. She said, Germany can't just sit there. They're an economic powerhouse. And we have their gold. And you know that they wanted some of their gold back? We didn't have it. We said, we didn't say that. We said, we can't give it back to you right now. But they end up finding some gold and give them some back. But we took their gold. We put a wall down the middle. We joined the nations together. And Churchill was fulfilling a prophecy that the last one to rise would be 10 nations, not just a national nation, like Germany was in World War I and World War II. Now we're going to have 10 nations. Now, German leaders are pushing a vigorous new case that it's time for their nation to find more muscular voice in foreign affairs, reported the New York Times last Saturday. This was written in February. The Times noted, in response to a multiplying global crisis and a retreating U.S. superpower. Well, how do we know we was going to retreat? How many of you heard we'd lose the pride of our power? You've heard that ever since you've been in church. We have lost the pride of our power. We have the power, but we backed away. A retreating U.S. superpower. Senior German officials are urging a rethinking of the country's assumption it's a diplomatic military role. So now we are wanting Germany to become a military role. I would read all this to you, but we don't have time. But I want to read this to you. Instead, the world's reaction was one of relief and applause. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry also spoke at Munich and commented on Germany and its new foreign policy. So they're going to take some action. He said, I say respectfully, does not mean Germany that you meet in Munich for a discussion. It means you commit resources. We did all this to stop it from happening. We're over there wanting them to build a military. Look at here. Give another one here. Israel calls for Germany's help to solve the Gaza conflict. They're not asking us. We lost the pride of our power. We're retreating. Now, remember what the purpose of this sermon is. Everything God wrote down, he said, if you want to know if this Bible inspired, well, look back and he foretold the four nations. He foretold there'd be 10 resurrections. He foretold the 3 of them would be subdued. There'd be 7 left. And 7 are fallen. He does Revelation. 1 is. And there's 1 to come. And we're looking for the 1 to come. Now, here's what's so amazing to me after I was doing this. In Daniel 2, all of these things have come to pass. The four nations, we look, they happen. The 10 resurrections of the Roman Empire, they have happened. 7 have fallen. 1 is under Mussolini, and there's 1 to come. The only thing that we got to look forward to is the last one. 10 nations. All the rest has already happened. So we're living in a, and remember that in Daniel 2, it says, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in the latter days. We are in the latter days. I don't know when Christ is going to come. I tell the people at work, I got an advantage over them. I'm going to die. You're going to have to live through this mess that he thinks we cause. But maybe I won't die. Maybe that God will want me to do something, and if he does, then we'll do it. But here, John Kerry wants them to get involved. We're asking Germany to get involved. Now, let's see if I can find my notes. Oh, I'm glad this is a big... I want to read one other thing to you here. How long will euro crisis flare up? Euro keeps having problems. That's the currency over there in Germany and in Europe. And here it says, but Europe is still fundamentally flawed. A block of countries cannot successfully share a single currency in the long term without a single government. So we got 27 nations over there. God says 10. And when them 10 go together, he's going to have one leader. You got to have a single government. The euro was designed to force European nations to come together as a super state, so Germany would not rise in a national. And God foretold it wouldn't be national. It'd be a 10 nation. An economic crisis will keep exploding until these nations are forced to unify under a single government, which is what's going to happen. Now, if I can find out where my notes went, I'll try and finish the sermon. We need to be watching for these 10 nations to unite physically and turn this control over to Germany. Remember that I said, God said it the way you want to know it? Go and look and see what I foretold would happen. See if it happened. It has. He said, then look forward, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in the future. And I'm telling you what God says is going to happen in the future. 10 nations are going to go together. We need to be watching for that. Mr. Armstrong was watching for it in 1934. And I always did it when I lived in the best time. In 1950, the United States and Britain, Great Britain, owned 2/3 of all the wealth. In 1950. 2/3 of all the wealth. Now we're $17 trillion in debt. The largest debtor nation in the world. We pulled away from God. God took his hedge away from us. Then what's going to happen? Sometime after they're uniting, and Christ will come and smash these 10 toes and set up a kingdom and bring his world to peace. Trumpets, we're keeping next week. This is what we're going to be talking about, or should be talking about. There's going to be 10 nations over there to rise. Christ is going to come, which you heard in the sermonette, and all that, the last trump. Then we have atonement. Then we have the Feast of Tabernacles. And all the holy days are prophecy. So we can now, to prove the Bible's right, do a little research. God intends for you to do that. Prove what I just went through. Everything has happened except the last one. And we're sitting here watching. And is it happening? All the articles I get, it's happening. The UN asked Germany for more help. Germany needs to play a bigger role in the United Nations. German defense minister, they want them to invest more power into it. Anyway, I'll just read over it. They're asking the UN to say, Germany, get involved. And we did everything to keep Germany down. We had the gold, had a wall down the middle. They was laying in ashes, and it still come up. But I always noticed one thing since I've been in the church 4 to 6 years or so, Mr. Armstrong never changed what he was saying. Look for Christ to come. Look for 10 nations. Look for us to lose the pride of our power. No matter how bad it looked. And I always wondered, how did he know? In 1950, I lived in Anderson, Indiana, 14 General Motors plants, the United States and Great Britain, 2/3 of all the wealth. And then he was predicting the downfall. Now I know how he knew. He read the Bible, and he knew who Ephraim and Manasseh was. And he read the Bible, and he seen this was going to happen, and it hadn't happened yet. So he started to tell you what hadn't happened yet. And now we're in the last days. Now, we have trumpets, Feast of Tabernacles. Fall days are foretold, but haven't happened yet. So we're to watch. Now, the prophecy won't save you. You have to know prophecy. He tells you to watch. Look up the word watch in the New Testament, how many times God wants you to watch. He tells you in Isaiah 41, if you want to prove I'm God, you want to prove this Bible's right, look up and see what I said was going to happen in Daniel 2, see if it happened. And then look and see what's going to happen in the future. By grace are you saved through faith in Ephesians 2:8. And that's not of yourself. It's not your faith. You have to have faith in God, but after that you have to have the faith of Jesus. If it's your faith, it works. Somewhere in John says, I didn't call you. I mean, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Of course, we all know John 6:44, that God draws you to Jesus. But if you keep on reading, he said, you didn't choose me. I called you. So we have nothing except the Holy Spirit, and I'll give you a few hints how to do it. Number one, prophecy helps me to have more faith, and it proves to me the Bible is inspired by God, because that's the way that God tells us to do it. It helps me to see more vividly what I have to be doing. And I'm not going to turn to these verses, but Matthew 4:4. Most of you should know what that is. Live by every word of God. This helps me to want to do that. And we're living in this economy is going down, in case some of you didn't know. You might think it's down now, but it's going more. Romans 12:1-3. I present your bodies, all God wants you to do is present your bodies a living sacrifice. He wants you to be holy and not conform to this world. Come out of this world. Do not keep Christmas. Do not keep the others. Keep God's holy day. And 1 Peter 1:16, be you holy. God wants you to be holy, for I am holy. He wants you to develop his holy, righteous character. In Romans 8:28, it says, everything works for good for those that love God, that are called according to his purpose. We are called to God's purpose. What is that? If you read Romans 29, it says, to be conformed into the image of God. We are in the process then now of being conformed to be like Christ, to develop his character, so that then he can give us the spiritual body. Now, how do we do that? Colossians 3:10 tells us how. How is he doing this? He tells us to put on the new man. Put off the old image. Turn to Colossians. I want you to see something there. Colossians 3:10. It says, put on the new man, which we renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We are to be put on the new man and become like Jesus Christ in our character. And in Genesis, God and the Word said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So they're in a process now of making us into spirit beings. And we have to have the knowledge and the character. But I just like the word here, put on the new man, that you, after the image of him that created him. Who created us? Jesus Christ. We be in the image. Romans 9:28. It says that we are predestined, foretold, that we will take on, be conformed to the image of God. And that's what we need to do. I'm just going to read these. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord? But we have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ because you read the Bible. And it's very hard to teach this to other people. I noticed in a Bible study that I have that if they didn't already know most of it, you couldn't put it together. You'd be down trying to give the basics. But we're to have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Are you studying your Bible so that you know that? So these prophecies which were foretold about Germany is happening now. Germany has risen from the ashes of World War II, has become the strongest nation in the European Union, and now we're watching to see when they will unite politically with Germany as the head. And I've always said, when somebody had a gun to my throat to get ready to pull the trigger and Germany has united and religious leader has put them together. I said, pull it. You know, I'll be back not for too long, and then we'll straighten this mess up. God, and I said that years ago, but prophecy is the thing that is going to prove the church, and I see why God is all my notes is on, really on prophecy. God says this is how you knew he is the God of this Bible, and it is inspired by him, because he foretold from Nebuchadnezzar clear down to the coming of Christ, and the only one left is the 10-nation empire. This proves the Bible is literal and it's inspired. We should obey what Romans 12 says, if this body is a living sacrifice. Colossians 3 says, put on the new man. Matthew 4:4, live by every word of God. This should increase our faith and encourage us to surrender our will to his will, and to put on the new man by renewing the knowledge and the image of Jesus Christ, which is developing the mind of Christ, living by every word of God, so we will take part in the first resurrection when Christ returns to bring this world to peace. And I gave this sermon, I didn't realize it, but I gave it in a year ago, or 2 years ago, 12. And my last, must have been right before the feast, my last statement was, have a wonderful feast. And here I can say, have a wonderful Trumpets, Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles.